Hi, and welcome to Five Compelling Questions with Sean, your favorite podcast with author interviews. We talk about writing, we talk about creativity, we talk about being a debut author, which is very exciting. And I happen to have one of those with me today. I want to welcome Mary Monin to my show. How are you doing?
Thank you, Sean. Doing really good. It's pretty exciting to have my first book out.
I know. I'm so excited for you. There's nothing like it. There is nothing like it. Every time you have a book release, it's very, very exciting. But you always remember that first one. It's like having children. You have one, you know, the first one is like, oh, what's this all going to be about? And then you sort of learn. But it is very, very, very fun to be a debut author. Congrats.
Thank you.
Oh, what's the name of the book? Oh, and I have to mention, you write as M.A.
Monin.
Yes.
Yes. Death in the Aegean.
And what's give us a brief overview of this book that you just wrote.
Okay, so in Death of the Aegean, Stephanie Adams, who is a private banker, goes on vacation to Greece. And instead of finding adventure and romance, she's suspected in the death of a wealthy bride who accuses her deceased father of artifact theft. And unfortunately, the bride's accusation also ties Stephanie to the robbery of a newly discovered gold Minoan statue, the Akrotiri snake goddess. So with two high profile crimes to solve, the Greek police are under pressure and both crimes lead to Stephanie.
Yes, yes. And it's very exciting that she gets herself into all this trouble and has to try to figure it out, you know, and you don't know what to do when you're traveling. You know, you're a stranger in a strange land, basically.
Yes.
It's a really, really great book. Let me give you a formal introduction for those who don't know who you are. Mary has been a traveler all of her life, living in West Germany, the Netherlands, Spain, and England. An avocational archaeologist, she attributes her fascination with archaeology to her childhood in Germany, where she visited medieval churches, castles, and villages. Her short stories have appeared in anthologies and Black Hat Mystery Magazine, and her nonfiction articles cover Victorian reception of ancient Egypt, detective fiction, and gardening. So you have a wide variety of interests, which is very fun. Mary is a board member of Midwest chapter of MWA, Mystery Writers of America. Mary is also a member of International Thriller Writers, Sisters in Crime, SMFS, which is Short Mystery Fiction Society,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yep. And Romance Writers of America, right? ROWA?
Yes.
Yeah. Got a lot of acronyms in your bio, but I knew them all. I knew them all. You're trying to test me. And is a trustee. I thought this part was really cool. You're a trustee of the Kansas City Archaeological Society. She divides her time between writing, traveling, and hiking. And she lives in Kansas City, Missouri with her husband, Bob, and Siberian Huskies, Anubis and Nikita. So you have all, it's all tied together. It's all, yeah. All tied together. Well, that's Mary, M-A, but I'll call you Mary.
That's fine. Oh,
yeah, we know each other pretty well. So as we go forward with the first question, answer however you might see fit. If you could tell your younger writing self anything, what would it be?
Oh, it would be don't give up, because I've given up twice. So this is the third time's a charm. I first tried my hand at writing when I was in my 20s, and I that was back in the days with the self-addressed stamped envelopes and all. And I had reached the point where I was getting handwritten, encouraging rejection letters from editors, but I really needed to get a paying job. So I thought, this isn't for me. I'm going to go to work instead. And I did. But then of course, that bug, that creative urge just kept at me. So I tried it again in the 90s. But at that time I could not get my manuscripts past about 40,000 words. And I thought, okay, it just wasn't meant to be. And then in 2013, the RT convention, Romantic Times convention, came to Kansas City, and a local bookseller told me, she said, it doesn't matter if you write romance or mystery or whatever, just go there and see what you can learn. And I went there and I loved it. I had found my people. It's like, oh my gosh. And so I I've been working on writing ever since and have not given up.
And look at you now. Now you're published. Long yes. Look at you. That's it.
Long, hey. Hard road.
Yeah. But you know, I think it is tough. It's tough when you have a creative sort of pursuit that you really are passionate about, because you do have to work. I mean, you have to buy food and pay your bills. I mean, it's hard in the beginning. And so I think a lot of writers find something that's sort of writing adjacent, as you know, because writing, being a good writer works in a lot of different professions. I mean, I was in advertising. A lot of writers are in advertising or law or different things where you need to be able to use words persuasively. And that's writing, you know? So I think a lot of people choose careers that sort of, not exactly what you want to be. You want to be a novelist writing, you know, those books every single day, but you get there through perseverance, and you did it. And I'm really proud of you.
If you persevere, yes.
Yeah. And I get to say that I, you know, I'm part of that debut. Yay. Look at me.
Yes. And I'm so happy you are.
Yeah, me too. Well, congratulations. And I'm glad you stuck with it. And that's very good advice, because a lot of people do just say, you know, maybe it isn't for me. And it's hard. It's really, really hard to do this job. So question number two, you answered that one really well. So I think you're going to do great in this interview. As writing, you're good. As writing a novel and getting it published taught you anything about yourself?
It has. It has taught me that I'm tougher than I thought I was. For just what we were talking about, the perseverance. This time I just kept at it. I had a story that I believed in, and I've gotten rejection after rejection. And I've told my local writing group, just call me the rejection queen, because I have gotten so many, but I keep at it. And this can be a soul crushing career choice. But you have to keep, you know, if you believe in yourself, you know, keep trying. And so I realized what I've learned is that I'm a heck of a lot tougher than I thought I was, because I've stuck through it, through all the rejections. And my goal was to be traditionally published, and I am. And so, yes.
Yeah. Rejection's tough. And, you know, bad reviews are tough, and other people's opinions are tough to deal with sometimes. But if you can sort of get past, you know, the idea that they're, you know, it's not always a reflection on you. Most of the time it's not even a reflection on your work. It's just that they are overwhelmed with other things, or they just signed something just like yours. You know, you have to sort of look, it's hard to get past it in the moment, but once you get some distance on it, it's like, okay, I'll try again somewhere else, and you know, it'll be okay.
So. That's true. But I do hear that I should never read my Goodreads reviews. So I'm thinking maybe I'm not tough enough to read those.
If it's going to, I've heard both schools of thought, and I have friends that do totally avoid reviews or just wallow in them, or, you know, but I always say, you know, you can't take any, you get a whole bunch of really good 5-star reviews, you're going to get a few 1-star reviews. You can't take either of those too seriously. It's sort of that middle of the road. I'm a very middle of the road person. I like the middle of the road people. Tell me the things you liked about it. Tell me the things, you know, you didn't really like about it. You know, cause some people just put 1-star reviews just for fun, cause it's like a little power trip they have, and you know, you can't really,
yeah.
You know, and all your friends are going to go on and give you 5 stars, you know, but there's going to be some legit 5 stars in there too, but you have to really, I just sort of like, don't get to celebrate too much. Don't get too far down. You know what I mean? Like try to.
That sounds good. That is great advice. And I'm going to take that to heart going forward.
Hey, I've been out in the public eye for a long time. Trust me. Got people throwing stuff at me a lot, and it's, hey, you know, you get over it. Number three, this is about the book. How did you arrive at the premise of your series?
Okay. So I got the idea for the first book when my husband and I went to Santorini. We made a point to go to the archaeological site of Akrotiri, which was a Bronze Age town that was buried in the massive eruption on Thera or Santorini, roughly around 1628 BC. And they've excavated a lot of houses, houses and streets, lots of pots, loom weights, and a single gold item, a statue of an ibex. Well, on nearby Crete, when Sir Arthur Evans excavated Knossos, they found at least 2 snake goddess statues, but they were made of ceramic. And I thought, ooh, what if a gold snake goddess, gold Minoan snake goddess was discovered in Akrotiri? What kind of people would come see it, and how would they interact? And you know, surely at least one person would covet it. So in Death in the Aegean, that first book, Stephanie Adams discovers that she has a knack for investigating, and she loves foreign travel. And so she's looking for ways. The series is her indulging herself in that foreign travel, and she just gets to figure out how to pay for it. She does have a tidy nest egg put aside from her long hard work and as a banker, and so that's it. And every place she goes in the series are places that I've actually been to and visited.
That's cool. You have firsthand knowledge of what it feels like to be there and what it smells like and tastes like, and that's that comes across in the book for sure. So yeah, you put your experience to work here. So that's fun.
It's all a good excuse to travel.
Hey, you know, yeah, definitely. So next question. If you could cast your characters, which actors do you envision playing the different roles?
So this is really funny. I had written Death in the Aegean long before I ever saw the Majorca Files on, I think it was on BritBox. And, but I have to say, as soon as I saw Julian Lumen, who plays Max Winter on the Majorca Files, I thought, oh my God, that's just like Thomas. He looks just like mine. And for Stephanie, I picture her looking very much like the Spanish actress, Amaya Salamanca. She plays on the Spanish version of Grand Hotel, which I saw on Netflix. I don't know how many listeners have seen that. It was really well done. And she's just a beautiful actress. And so that's how I picture Stephanie is looking.
Yeah, well, they're both very attractive. You send me pictures of them. They're very cute. They would make a good... adaptation actor, so I think we should go for it.
Well, that sounds good to me. Yeah. I'll leave that in your hands.
Yeah, we'll have to put it on top of the book. Cool. So fifth question, something a little different usually. What is your favorite time of day to write?
Ah, okay. So my favorite time of day to write. This is funny. I'm a morning person. Like I was up at 5 a.m. this morning, wide awake, and that's normal for me. And so when I first started writing full-time, I thought, well, I'm going to hit the typewriter or, you know, hit the computer right after breakfast, but that didn't work for me. And I was so surprised. And it actually took me a couple of years to figure out that that was not working for me, because I had all these errands and things nagging at the back of my mind that needed to be done. So now I work best from 2 in the afternoon until 8 at night. And the funny thing is that I don't start until 2 because my midday de-stressor is watching General Hospital. So it comes on from 1 to 2 here in the Midwest. And after I watch that, I go work and take a short break for dinner time. My husband has retired, and sweetheart that once he retired, he took over washing dishes. So as soon as dinner's done, I go in and work until 8 o'clock. But I notice I can't work after 8 because the typos just start adding up one after the other. So I just shut off the computer at 8, and that's the end of my day. So,
wow. So you really did find your sweet spot. That's perfect, because it's just, you know, that's what
it took a long time, because I was fighting it all the way, being a morning person. I was so sure morning was the right time for me, and it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Yeah. General Hospital. That's hilarious. I don't know.
No.
I was like, that's still on.
My guilty pleasure.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it's still playing. Yeah. How long have you been watching the show? How long have you been invested in it?
Well, oh my God, I guess about 25 years now. That's shocking.
It is.
Yeah, on and off, you know, because I have worked, you know, in those years. I've only been a full-time writer now for about 12 years. So.
Right. So you didn't like make sure you scheduled your lunch break at 1 so you could watch your General Hospital.
No.
No. Well, yeah, I used to watch all my children back in like college and stuff. And then I would get so mad if I like missed a week because I'm like, well, what happened? What happened?
But then it only really takes you one episode to really catch up with most of the stuff, you know, because
So-and-so is in a coma. This one went to jail. You know, the plot lines are my favorite. One of my favorite movies of all time is Soap Dish with Sally Field.
Oh, I love that. Yes. I love that one too.
As a soap opera fan, you're just like, it's so funny. It just cracks me up.
And so spot on. You know, I can look at, you know, General Hospital is doing research. You know, you learn about drama, you learn how to extend the suspense.
Oh, for sure. And you have to imagine, you know, there's people slaving away in writing rooms. That show's on every single day. There's people in writing rooms putting these episodes together and writing these character arcs that have lasted all these years. I mean, it's a very skillful writing
group. That's true.
But then I think of the writing room and Soap Dish, and it's why don't we have her be an astronaut or, you know, so it's like wackadoo ideas that they come up. Because it's sort of like, what else are we gonna do? We've done everything, it's been on 25 years, whatever it is.
That's how right. General
Hospital's been on since like, wasn't it start like in the, I'm gonna say like 60s? Wasn't it on forever?
It's been on forever. I don't know. It's been on forever. They just had a big, might have been their 50th anniversary. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, I was thinking 60s or 70s. I mean, I just had my 50th anniversary of being alive, so I know it's been around since I was really little, so I know that. But well, that's amazing. That's the first time I've ever talked about a soap opera on my show, and the first time I ever talked about Soap Dish, which is again one of the best movies ever made of all time.
I agree, Kevin Kline.
My sister and I quote it to each other constantly. It's like, stay away from accents. We'll like say, like text each other just random quotes from the movie. Stay away from accents. Like, it's one of my favorite ones. Because he's like, well, he's been in Europe. He's European now. I was like, no, you know, stay away from accents. Yeah, everyone needs to run out and see it immediately.
Yes.
And you understand me so much better. So, okay, we always do a rapid fire quiz, and there's no wrong answer because all the answers are wrong.
Okay.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Okay.
Summer. Warmth.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a popular response. I have had one person say winter because she says she lives on the edge of hell and, you know, very, very hot area. So it's like winter sort of not like, but I grew up in Florida. So winter was sort of like, oh, it's 60 degrees and it's freezing.
You're so spoiled.
Yeah, so I'm a summer as well. Sweet or savory?
Savory. Yeah. Every day.
Okay. Chips and salsa.
Chips and salsa over cookies any day.
Same. Yeah, I can bypass sweets forever. Comedy or drama?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'll say comedy, but only because, you know, things like Soap Dish and True Lies and, you know, there's humor in there. Since I'll just say comedy, since action is not a choice.
I'll have to put that in season 3. Yes, I think we've established we like comedy and drama today. Mm-hmm. Early bird or night owl? We already
early bird.
Yeah. But you write at night-ish. You write at night-ish.
I know, that's kind of funny. Just weird. You know, I guess, you know, people are complicated.
They are. Yeah. Whatever works for you. Coffee or tea?
Coffee. More, please.
Coffee thing. Same for me. Well, very cool. So we sort of wrap up the interview with talking about what's going on next. So what is going on with you next? What are you doing? Where are you heading? How are you celebrating this debut of yours?
Ooh, well, to celebrate the debut, my whole family surprised me with dinner at a Greek restaurant. And that was very cool. And I didn't have copies of my book, but the Greek owner took all the copies of my bookmark I had, and hopefully he's sharing those. So that was fun. I'll be going to Thriller Fest, where I'm a debut author this year. And that'll be a big part of the celebration, because it's just a few days away. And that's close. What I'm working on now is book 2 in this series, in which Stephanie will go to Milan and Venice, and that's all I'll say about that. But I'm also doing, I've kind of grouped together with a couple of other authors books that involve art crime. And so I'll be doing a virtual event June 9th with the Burke Library, Burke, Virginia Library. And on June 16th, there'll be a virtual event at the Rochester, New York Library. Ooh. And if anyone's interested, registration links for that are on my website at mamonin.com.
And there's two N's, Monin, M-O-N-N-I-N, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's very cool. Very exciting. All the way from New York down to, you know, wherever you are, and celebrations all over the land. But because Thriller Fest is in New York City, right?
Yes. Cool. Yes. And I'm very excited to go yeah. there. That's always a lot of fun, both Thriller Fest and New York City. I love to go.
Oh yeah. It's a great town. Yeah. Well, my old wave to my old apartments when you're there. I'm just kidding.
Okay. I'll just wave all over.
Yeah. I do miss the city. It is a lot of fun. Yeah. Well, you'll have a great time. I'm very proud of you. Very excited for you. I'm glad you stuck with things and you decided to pursue your dreams and your passion. And now look, you've made it. You're done. You don't have to do anything else. You're good.
Oh, if only, if only. Well, thank you. And thank you for being part of the journey, Sean, because I've loved being with Level Best Books, and it's been a lot of fun and enjoyable.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Well, that's really nice to hear. Well, we love all you guys. So, but wishing you all the best. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And we'll have you back again, because I need to talk about Venice next time. We need to dive into that one. So next book, we'll do another show.
It's a date.
All right, great. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.